your host, Tim Drake. On today's episode, I have comedian and actor Maranzio Vance. Maranzio currently stars in the new TV Land show, Lopez, playing a character named Maranzio, who is basically, he's George Lopez's sidekick in the show, who gives him, you know, advice and helps give him that dose of reality whenever he needs it. If you've not started watching Lopez yet on TV Land, it is an absolutely phenomenal show. I didn't really know what to expect, you know, going into the show. You know, we've seen George, you know, when he did his late night show. We've seen some of his more family-friendly shows on ABC, I believe, and some of the more mainstream network television. But this show kind of pulls things back. You know, it kind of takes place as George, you know, kind of struggles with wanting to be able to give back to the Latino community where he grew up, but also feeling as though, you know, he can never satisfy all the demands placed on him by both the celebrity world and his hometown. So it's really, really a fascinating show. And, you know, like I said, I've really enjoyed it. TV Land has just some phenomenal programming. You know, we had the cast of The Teachers on earlier this year, the Katie Dids. They were absolutely phenomenal. I'm really excited that they're doing season two. You've also got the Jim Gaffigan show on TV Land. So there's a lot of great programming, and Lopez just adds to that. Being able to talk with Maranzio, you know, it was a lot of fun. You know, kind of being able to hear about, you know, some of his stand-up. I started when he was 15 years old. I'm always amazed when I hear, you know, people that started so young in comedy. So, I mean, I always kind of had that inkling that I wanted to do comedy really young, but, you know, it was never anything that I really knew how to pursue. You know, I knew what A Living Color was, so I loved Saturday Night Live. Mr. Bean was a big thing for me when I was 15 years old. I used to wear a Mr. Bean shirt to school that had Mr. Bean's face smashed through the Mona Lisa. It was called the Mona Beena. And I always had to try to explain to everybody what the hell Mr. Bean was and what Red Dwarf was. And they all thought I was absolutely insane. So, but no, it's been something that I've always loved. But being able to, you know, talk to somebody that actually did stand up that young and that had that passion that young, you know, it's always cool to hear, you know, their insights on comedy and being able to, you know, talk about, you know, how where they come from, and from a writing stance, as well as, you know, just from, you know, their passion of comedy. We also kind of talked about, you know, where his passion lies, you know, how he's a comedy purist, a little bit how he got involved with the Lopez show, as well as, you know, a time when he waited to meet the kings of comedy. So, you know, a lot of cool things with comedy and Maranzio's career. So we will have all the links where you can follow Maranzio on the website, on mikepodcast.com. Maranzio's also appeared on Last Comic Standing, The Tonight Show with Jay Leno, Wanda Sykes' Wanda Does It Again, and Jamie Foxx's Laugh-A-Palooza. One of my favorite appearances of Maranzio's been on The Kevin Nealon Show. So I used to always love to see his stand-up on there. There's a lot of great stuff you can still find on YouTube, I believe, from The Kevin Nealon Show. I also saw Maranzio at Meltdown years ago. So, and of course, everybody knows how much I love Meltdown there in Los Angeles. So, you know, definitely check out some of his stuff. He also recorded a comedy special back in 2012, and you can buy his album, Laugh-Matic, on iTunes right now as well. So definitely check that out. I've absolutely loved Maranzio's comedy, and I know that you will as well. Coming up this week at Wise Guys Comedy in Salt Lake City, Ron Funches from Undateable and At Midnight, as well as Drunk History. Ron will be in town this weekend. You can get tickets at wiseguyscomedy.com. I believe they are $20. I know local comic Andy Gold, former guest of the podcast, is also going to be opening that show. If you've never seen Ron Funches do comedy, you're missing out. So he is such a great performer, especially, you know, if you've seen him on Undateable, he's absolutely hilarious. He's, I believe, still the champion of At Midnight. So I actually got to see Ron on At Midnight a couple weeks back when I was in the audience there when they did the late night roundup with Jordan Klepper and Mike Yard, also on the panel there. So that was a lot of fun. So Ron Funches is one of my favorite comedians. So I'm really excited to see him. Live this weekend again. So if you're in Salt Lake City, make sure you get out to that wiseguyscomedy.com to buy tickets. Next weekend, the Sklar Brothers bring their show back to Salt Lake City. So you guys are not going to want to miss that. You can see some of their specials still up on Netflix there. Make sure you check those guys out and get tickets to see them as well coming up here. So Jason Sklar is actually going to be on the podcast next week, so make sure you guys tune in for that. A lot of great shows coming through town. WiseGuysComedy.com, you can check those out. Also, don't miss out on the great shows over at Meltdown out there in Los Angeles. so many incredible shows. You've got the Meltdown Show. I mean, every single Wednesday night with Jonah Ray and Kumail Nanjiani. That show is fantastic. So if you ever get a chance to get out there and see that. Also, Monday nights. It's not a weekly show, but it, you know, it pops up every so often. Chris Hardwick does beta tests over at Meltdown. It's a fantastic show. It's a free show at that. So, you know, get over and see that. You never know who you're going to see at that. You know, there's been times when I've gone to that. TJ Miller, April Richardson, Justin Willem, who is probably, you know, one of the most underrated comics. People still are getting used to being able to see. He's a magician and a comedian. So, I mean, it makes it really fun. You never know what you're going to see there. Also coming up at Meltdown, you have the Will Show on May 14th. It's a really fun show to check out. So you're not going to want to miss that. Also, Speechless with Guy Branum and Kate Berlant. I just saw Kate Berlant a couple weeks back. Actually, I guess it's been several months now. It feels like it was only a couple weeks ago when she did Emily Gordon's book release. Kate Berlant's absolutely hilarious. She's going to be on that show as well. Of course, Harmontown every Sunday night over at Meltdown. So, yeah, again, a lot of great shows always coming up there. So you've also got Doug Loves Movies May 23rd. Doug Benson's coming back to Salt Lake City as well. So, you know, a lot of great shows there. As well as Open Mic, hosted by former guest of the podcast, Kyle Clark. Kyle does Open Mic over at Meltdown every Monday night at 5 p.m., so don't miss out on that. And also Meltdown this weekend, Kate Berlant, the Lucas Brothers, Jimmy Pardo, and more for the luck of the draw, so make sure you guys get over to that. That's a free show at Meltdown at 9 p.m., so yeah, don't miss out on that. So many great comedy shows coming up. Make sure you check out Lopez Wednesday night on TV Land. Again, you guys will really, really enjoy this show. It is a fantastic show. I have thoroughly enjoyed watching it. Make sure you check out Maranzio's links on the website. Follow him on social media. Check out his comedy specials. Buy his album. Enjoy Lopez. Enjoy this episode with Maranzio Vance. Not bad. I'm excited to have you on the show today.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. So I've been catching up on everything on the new Lopez show, and you're absolutely fantastic in it. I've been really loving the show.
Thanks, man. You just tell my dad that. Hurry
up. So
call my son and tell him, like, your son is doing great. Yeah. Okay. If you say so. I'm interpreting what my father would say.
So, hey, if your father would even say that, at least you get that. My dad wouldn't even watch it to tell me that much, so.
My dad is this. If I do something, he'll be like, are you proud of it? I'm like, yes, I'm proud of it. Are you really proud of it? Or you like, that's what makes him happy, I guess. It's like a passive-aggressive appreciation.
At least it's something, though, right?
Yeah, I mean, I really have, but Armstrong, like, it's never been happy. I just, every kid, at some point in time, is waiting on their parents to just come up and grab them and say, oh my God, you're the greatest thing that ever happened, you are wonderful, blah, 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 and it's never going to happen.
Yeah.
unless you create a hologram of them and program it to say what you want it to say.
Yeah, if I could ever get to that level of intelligence, I think I wouldn't even have to worry about it.
Right? I would program myself to forget the pain.
Yeah. So I'm excited to be talking to you. I've seen a lot of your stand-up over the years, both on Kevin Nealon's show and then your Comedy Central special, as well as when you did a Meltdown a few years back. So Meltdown's one of my absolute favorite venues in Los Angeles.
Okay, cool, man. I have a love-hate affair with comedy, but I think anybody that does comedy has that same type of love-hate. I have my good days and my bad days. I think I'm such a purist when it comes to comedy. I'm very old school about it, and I want it to be pure, and I want it to be fun. I want people to receive their, you know, reward in life because you're funny, not because you have a gimmick, not because, you know, good management, not because you have a great agent, not because you bought 120 million followers on Twitter is just because you're a true comic. You sat down, you came up with a joke, you wrote it, you performed it, you made people laugh, confetti came from the sky, they pick you up and carry you out of the venue. Yeah.
So I like hearing that, though, you know, being a purist of it. I mean, I think it makes the writing more genuine, and it makes the comedy come from a lot more of a real place, and that I think connects better with audiences than trying to have some type of gimmick.
I think comedy has changed so much because instead of comedians just staying the course and saying, look, this is what comedy is. We stand on stage, there's a stool, there's a microphone, it could be, you know, lights and everything, but at the end of the day, it's a microphone and you on stage telling your story, entertaining people, trying to make people laugh. I don't try to make anybody laugh. I just tell my story. If you laugh, you laugh. If you don't, then it doesn't relate to you. It's all about you saying something and being able to relate to somebody in the audience or a group of people saying, we all get that. We've all been there before. I can totally see how that happens. That's crazy, but I'm on board with that.
Yeah.
Versus, you got variety shows now. You got people going on stage with other comedians standing behind them, dancing. Well, it's just so much that people are trying to. It's like you're adding on accessories to something that doesn't need accessories. It's like you're putting rims or you're putting a huge speaker system in a Bentley. You don't have to do anything to a Bentley. Just a Bentley.
Very true.
Bentley. At the end of the day, if you own a Bentley chair and you never wash it the entire time you own it, it doesn't matter because it's a Bentley.
Very, very, very
and
true.
You can say it to you. Working like, yo, Jenna, don't you wash the Bentley? Why should I? It's a Bentley. It costs more than anybody will ever make, and I'm rich, and it's disgusting.
Ta-da. So now, I mean,
that's what comedy is now. Everybody's doing stuff with comedy. Everybody's like, oh, let's do this, and how about we have somebody come out and rap first, and then we have someone do this, and then someone do that, and everybody, just, can we just do comedy?
So now, how long did it kind of take you to kind of grasp everything with building your comedy career? I know you started when you were 15, which most people don't have that ability at 15 to really start understanding comedy and doing any type of stand-up.
I was empty early in life. I had to fill myself up. I'm joking. I was fine. I was. Now, you know what I mean? I saw something I wanted to do. I gravitated to it. It made sense to me. It was easy. I didn't have to fight. It's one of those things where I didn't have to fight to make myself do it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, because it becomes something that you love, and it's just when it's that natural. I mean, it's as natural as drinking a glass of water. So I mean, you can just get up and do it. So and it makes you happy, and that's really what you have to do. And that's what I think would make it so easy like that.
Literally, that's what happened, man. I used to watch HBO, the half-hour specials they used to do, like, in the early 80s. And in the mid-80s, it was, like, I used to love, I mean, I still do, but one of my favorite stand-up specials that I remember, I was 10 years old. I watched Stephen Wright, and I was like, this guy is hilarious to me. At 10 years old, I have a joke I didn't even get, but I think it was more of his persona and his delivery. Because Stephen Wright is dry. When I say dry, dry to the point where you should drink water while you are watching it, because it's that dry. It's so deadpan, and I like deadpan. Like, I'm a huge fan of deadpan. But you see my material.
Yeah.
I don't move around. I'm not gonna get physical. I'm not gonna have a check with the stool. I'm not gonna use the microphone as some type of male genitalia. I just do comedy. I just stand on I'm a pocket pass. Peyton Manning. I'm not a scrambler. I'm not going to scramble. If the pocket collapses on me, it just collapses on me. I don't care.
So now, what one thing, I mean, kind of growing up with the comedy, I had read that at one point you waited in a bathroom for 2.5 hours so that you could meet the kings of comedy.
Oh, my God. So, yesterday, first day ever, I played golf. 18 holes of golf, Tim. Never played golf before, ever. If that putt count, then yeah. Never played golf before. Like a full 18 holes? Never. Ever. So George had his celebrity they had a celebrity golf tournament, and I was like, okay, he's like, I want you to come, I need you to come network, you know, do the red carpet, talk to people, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, fine. I told Jordan, like, three or four weeks before the tournament, I can't play golf. Do I need to go practice? Yes, go practice, and go buy some clubs. Golf is a very expensive hobby if you really want to do it. You got to go and buy clubs, you got to go and buy bags, you got to go and buy balls and tees, and you got to buy the right shoes and pants and a shirt and a hat and alcohol because you're going to drink all day and you're not going to play golf. So it's a lot going on. So George invited me. I went and I played golf for 18 hours. For 18 holes. And then I hung out with Cedric the Entertainer, and I walked up to Cedric the Entertainer, and I said, let me tell you how you remember me. Clearly, he don't remember me, but this is me forcing someone to remember something they have completely wiped out of their memory. I said to him, I met you in 1998. I was in college. It was the King of the Comedy Tour. I snuck in with the catering crew. I snuck in with catering. I grabbed a punch bowl and walked in with catering and hung out in the men's bathroom for 2 hours just to wait to see you and the Kings of Comedy backstage.
Oh, wow.
I did that. I said to Tim, you know what there's to do in the bathroom for 2 hours when you haven't eaten or drank anything? Nothing.
there's not even anything to read at that point.
Nope.
So that... I mean, you have to do it. You have to do what you do to be able to meet those people and start creating those networks, though. So,
right.
So now you guys have been doing the Lopez show now. You guys are on what eight episodes so far. How did you get involved with the Lopez show?
Man, it was a gift because the guys who created this show, John and Dave, I was friends of theirs for the past 3 or 4 years, and we had been trying to figure out how can we do a project together, and the Lopez thing came about, and they said, come in and audition for us. We think the character is perfect for you, and that's what happened. I literally went in. John told me, just go in, be yourself, and you'll be fine.
So and essentially, I mean, you kind of even play a heightened version of yourself on the show. So and
I would say I play a quirky version of myself.
Yeah,
I think I play a quirky version of myself. Like, I'm not as deadpan as I could be because I play pretty deadpan, but certain scenes they have me hyping up a little bit. But this is me, you know, and I think it's a cool thing for me because I play myself, I use my real name, and I think people think I'm being an asshole when they meet me out, because they'll say, hey, you're from the Lopez Show. Your character's name is Maranzio. What's your real name? I'm like, Maranzio. And they're like, oh, no, for real. Maranzio.
I think it's funny, though, but you see more and more shows coming out where everybody is just using their actual name. I mean, they do it on Broad City. So on Workaholics, a lot of shows are doing that now where the characters are just using their real names.
I think it's easier, man. I think it's more fun. I think, you know, you feel like you arrived when you get to play yourself on TV and it's not a reality show.
Yeah.
You know, I think when you're in a reality show, no one, you know, it's not the same. But when you're on a TV show like Louis and Lopez and George uses his name and Louis uses his real name and I use my real name and, you know, Kevin Hart uses his real name and stuff like that. You know, there's a sense of accomplishment. Like, I'm so, you know, I can play myself, and I'm good enough to be who I am in the industry, and the executives in the TV world was like, he's talented enough, or we feel confident in to let him play him.
So and I mean, I think, like I said earlier, you know, I think you've done a great job, you know, on the show. It was definitely a unique spin on the show where, I mean, we're used to seeing George Lopez, you know, either do like a late night show or more of a network, one of the big network ABC type shows. And this was a lot different of a feel, you know, where he's kind of trying to find himself and you get to give him the advice and that kind of dose of reality every single time. I mean, was there a certain process of having to try to find that?
I think, you know, that's so fun about it is, I mean, the writers for the show are terrific. I think it's some of the best. I think it's the best writing on TV. The writers are terrific. They're smart. They're fast. they're funny, they're clever, they get it, they get George's voice, they get my voice, they get everybody's voice on the show. And I think it's fun because they give us the opportunity to improv a lot. So when George and I do a lot of scenes together, like when we're just talking, like in the restaurant or whatever, we improv a lot.
So, and that's something that I always appreciate when I watch any type of comedy show is it feels more real, and I think it makes the comedy of the show stronger when everybody in the scene has that connection.
I just want to say thank you for having me on. The show comes on Wednesdays at 10 o'clock. This is like my first sitcom ever where I'm like a main character on the show. I'm very proud of it. I'm thankful to George. I'm thankful to Eagle. I'm thankful to the writers on the show. I'm thankful for all the fans that watch it. And I appreciate it. I don't take it for granted. So you come to me and say, hey, what's your name? I say, Moranzio. That's really who I am. And Tim, I promise you, I'll come back on and talk on your podcast anytime you want to have me. I really appreciate it. And thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll hit you up when we're in L.A. and maybe even do some more out there.
Okay. Appreciate it, buddy.
You bet. Have a great one, man. We'll see you.